A proposed mining exploration near Mud Bay Road has Haynes neighbors concerned, and a local man is recovering from an accidental shooting last week. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A proposed mining exploration project near a Haynes neighborhood took residents by surprise last week when the permit application was discovered on a state website. Carolyn Wyson lives up the Haynes Highway and says she occasionally checks the public notices on the Alaska Department of Natural Resources website for proposed mining projects in the area. On the site, she found an application for hard rock exploration on about 5 acres near 3 Mile Mud Bay Road. She let some of her friends who live in that area know about it. And then it seemed word traveled, said Ron Jackson.
It's like everybody's hearing about this. It's like a firestorm that hit the town. It's certainly our neighborhood.
Eric Hosford of Skagway submitted the application. He owns the mineral rights on the state land at the site. Hosford is not proposing a full-blown mining operation, but rather about 2 weeks' worth of excavation that will let him do a bulk assay of the spot. He plans on digging 2 trenches, measuring 500 feet long, 12 feet wide, and 10 feet deep. He says he'll fill the trenches back in as soon as he finishes getting his sample.
All I want to do is trench that ditch line out, and of course we're going to be sending in a bulk sample, but this is only going to be a couple-week procedure, and then we're going to put it back how we found it and make it look nice, and then off we go to the next project.
But neighbors in the area are not so keen on the idea. Diane LaCourse and Ron Jackson own and live on about 3 acres adjacent to the proposed exploration site. LaCourse said first and foremost, the process for going about getting an exploration permit seems flawed if none of the neighbors knew about it.
In this case, yes, this application was put in, and it's been distributed to all the agencies that they thought should be involved. And yet nowhere in there was the public involved in it. And I think that's a missing link.
The state did not respond to our request for comment, but officials with the State Department of Natural Resources Mining Division said in emails to LaCourse that the permit applications for exploration and mining are posted publicly on the state website and forwarded to federal, state, and local agencies that might have jurisdiction in the area. Haynesboro manager Mark Ernest said he and his staff did not receive any notification, although the land where the activity is proposed is on state land. Some gold-copper mineralization was found in the same area in the 1980s when road work was done there, but the mineral rights to the land have changed hands since then. Hosford said he bought them a couple years ago and owns numerous mineral rights to areas across southeast Alaska. He calls himself a prospector more than a miner.
Here's the problem, is you have extremists on both ends of the spectrum. You got people that will blow up the wetlands if they could make a buck off it, and then you got people that will just shut up any exploration, even if you're out there with a shovel. Both are wrong, you know, and so I'm kind of the middleman. It's like, yeah, we should go and explore. We should enjoy creation. We should enjoy the environment that's out there. It's a big playground, but do it responsibly.
He said right now he doesn't plan on actually mining the land, but he's interested in investigating the bedrock there as part of a bigger project.
Like I said, I'm just an eccentric rock hound that explores the rocks. I found several deposits, and it's not necessarily I'm trying to make any money off the deposits, more so I'm just trying to figure out where these things go and how the earth is moving around here.
But that doesn't quell the concerns of neighbors like LaCourse and Jackson. They say the trench activity could disturb surface water flow along the Mount Riley hillside. It could affect the wells in the area, and ultimately, Hosford could end up selling the mineral rights to someone who would want to mine the area. They intend to keep a close watch on how the permitting process progresses, they said.
I would say if this kept going forward and made further steps, we'd be fighting it all the way along. It's just, a mine is not appropriate in a rural subdivision.
The state has not yet approved the application for hard rock exploration at the site. LaCourse and Jackson said the state has been receptive to comments and concerns from neighbors and has been helpful in explaining how the application process works. A man injured in a shooting in Haynes last week is on the mend and recovering in Anchorage. Police Chief Gary Lowe did not release the names of anyone involved in the shooting, but said it was accidental. He said several people were at a residence early Thursday when it occurred. 22-year-old Jason Allbecker spoke to us Monday from Anchorage. His knee was injured in the shooting. He was treated at the Haines Clinic and then medevaced to Anchorage after the incident. He said he's doing well and hopes to return to Haines in the next few days or within the week, although he will likely have to travel back to Anchorage for follow-up treatment and possible surgeries. Family is with him, and he's keeping in touch with friends by phone and on Facebook, he said.
Say thanks to everyone that was out there and helping out and doing, helping me get to the ambulance, and everyone that's been praying for me.
Chief Lowe said Monday no one has been arrested in connection with the incident, but he expects to suggest charges to the district attorney in the next week or two after more is known about Allbecker's condition. District Attorney Amy Williams in Juneau said she is working closely with the Haines Police Department on the investigation of the case. Tuesday is Municipal Election Day for Haines and Skagway. Polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Haines and from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Skagway. Residents in Haines Precinct No. 1 will vote at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. The polling place for residents up the highway is at the Klahini Valley Fire Department on Mosquito Lake Road. On the ballot are candidates for two open assembly seats. Dave Barry and Jonathan Green are vying for Assembly Seat A, being vacated by Damon Hoffman. Incumbent Joanne Waterman is up for re-election against opponent James Studley for Seat D. Three candidates are also on the ballot for four open Haines School Board seats. Brenda Jones, Sarah Chapel, and Royal Henderson are each running for a seat. The school board will have to appoint a fourth member to the group after the election. Haines voters will also weigh in on Proposition 1, a measure that would exempt local officials from the state requirements for financial disclosure. If the measure passes, local financial disclosure laws will go into effect instead. In Skagway, residents vote at City Hall beginning at 7 a.m. Three residents are running for two open assembly seats. Incumbent Dave Hunts is up for re-election and faces Steve Burnham Jr. and Gary Hansen. Two seats are also open for the Skagway School Board. Stuart Brown is running for a seat, and John Hischer is running as a write-in candidate for one of the seats. Tuesday evening, KHNS will air live election coverage beginning after 8 p.m. as results for both communities become available. The final days of Southeast Conference presentations ended last week with a focus on what is not only a regional, but a statewide concern, energy. More specifically, how to get more power at a reasonable cost. Considering the amount of water that's available in Southeast Alaska, hydroelectric power is an obvious topic when energy is discussed in the region, and several hydro projects were detailed. Various speakers also addressed alternative sources of heat, such as wood pellet boilers and heat pumps. Over approximately the last decade, many businesses and homes in Southeast Alaska converted from oil to electric heat after the price of oil skyrocketed. That boosted demand on the various hydroelectric sources throughout the region, leading to a shortage of water-generated power. When hydropower runs low, utilities must use backup diesel generators, which are much more expensive to operate. Alaska Energy Authority Executive Director Sarah Fisher Goad talked last week about energy development projects. She says her office recently received 20 applications from Southeast for Renewable Energy Fund Program grants for power projects.
In Southeast Alaska, that was 9 hydro projects, 5 biomass projects, 2 geothermal projects, 2 transmission projects, 1 solar project. It's always sunny in Southeast Alaska, so that one will be an interesting one. And then there is one project labeled Other.
The Other project is Southeast Alaska Power Agency's application for help with the hydrogen storage project. Fisher Goad primarily talked about the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan, which offers guidelines for energy development in the region. Highlights in the plan include recommendations for conservation, hydro development, transmission systems, alternative heating sources, and technical assistance. Heat pumps and biomass conversions are one way to reduce power consumption, and the biomass concept is gaining ground. AEA is sponsoring a wood energy conference in Ketchikan October 9th and 10th to further explore and promote that alternative. Conservation and energy efficiency were recurring themes among speakers last week. Among them was Chris Rose of the Renewable Energy Alaska Project, an Anchorage-based organization that promotes energy conservation.
The fact is that it's always the fastest and the cheapest way to get a BTU or a kilowatt hour is just not to use it in the first place. We really want to focus a lot on the fact that renewable energy is a first fuel, and that's one of the ways we're looking at it. This a first fuel is the energy that you don't use in the first place.
Rose says that after the Integrated Resource Plan for Southeast was released, his group decided to help implement the efficiency portion of the plan. They chose three communities to work with, Sitka, Cake, and Craig. He says it's possible for a family to save 30% of energy costs through conservation alone, which could mean up to $1,000 per year. Other energy speakers last week were Tim McLeod of Alaska Energy Light and Power, Latasha McCoy of the Tlingit-Haida Energy Authority Energy Sense Program, and Rebecca Garrett of the Alaska Energy Authority's Energy Efficiency Program. Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott and Executive Assistant Darcy Kolbeck attended the conference. There are 6 days left in the local moose season, and a total of 17 have been taken so far, according to Fish and Game. Of those 17, 7 have been a spiked fork configuration, 4 a 3-brow tine, 3 50-plus inches, and 2 sublegal. Moose season runs through October 7th. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.